RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany, and to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Minister Sri Mulyani explained points of cost recovery law revision. Ministry of Education and Culture sets up a World Culture Forum in Bali. Now the news in detail. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati affirmed that there are at least 5 points of revision of Government Regulation No. 79/2010 on recoverable operating costs and income tax treatment in upstream oil and gas. The cost recovery bill is expected to be handed over to the State Secretariat soon before being signed by President Joko Widodo. She said that the first revision point is related to the profit-sharing concept for the state known as a sliding scale. The second point is a requirement to provide tax incentive during expiration periods such as those of import tax and duty as well as domestic and property taxes. The third point is an assurance for investors that they will be provided with tax incentive during exploitation period. Another point is related to the removal of income tax collection for cost-sharing related to utilization of state-owned goods in upstream oil and gas sector and head office overhead cost allocation. The final point is related to the assurance of non-fiscal facilities such as investment credit, accelerated depreciation and domestic market obligation holiday. Director General of Culture at the Ministry of Education and Culture, Hilmar Farid, in the Pasar Bali on Friday met with Denpasar Mayor Ida Bagus Rai Dharmawijaya Mantra to discuss the preparation of the World Culture Forum WCF 2016. The event will be held in Nusa Dua on 10th until 14th next October. The focus of defense activities in Denpasar is Carnival Culture in Puputan Badun District. Hilmar said that the culture festival Carnival will invite all countries and cities in Bali to be held on October 11, 2016. Meanwhile, Denpasar Mayor Ida Bagus Rai is optimistic that the Carnival will be visited by a lot of people because the location in Puputan Badun Square is very strategic. In addition, Puputan Square will also be used for activities of art and culture as well as function as a medium of entertainment and educational sphere for the community. Indonesian and Malaysian governments agreed to sign a memorandum of understanding, which consists of employment in bilateral meeting taking place at Putrajaya International Convention Center in Malaysia on Friday, September 23rd. Minister of Manpower and Transmigration Hanif Dakir represented Indonesia in the bilateral meeting along with Malaysian delegation Minister of Human Resources Dato Sri Richard Riot Anajaim. They agreed to sign letter of intent which regulates Indonesian worker placement and protection in Malaysia through one channel system. Mr. Ani believes that the improvement of welfare and protection of the migrant workers in all sectors will be better through this agreement. The point is that Indonesia and Malaysia are doing their teamwork. We also want the migrant workers' protection to become better and better, and Malaysia accept the legal workers only from Indonesia.
Malaysia hanya menerima pekerja yang legal dari Indonesia.
Furthermore, Minister Hanif explained that this agreement is a follow-up of that collaboration between Indonesia and Malaysia through his Memorandum of Understanding, which had ended on May 2016. The 11th ASEAN Skill Competition, taking place from 19 to 29 September in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, has been officially opened. The opening was attended by Manpower Minister Anif Dakiri at Putrajaya International Convention Center on Friday. He targets Indonesian team could be the general champion. He views that Indonesian team could seize gold medal from information technology and automated category.
Ya, kita kalau bisa juara umum lah. Kalau di ASEAN kita cukup bagus ya.
I hope we can be general champion. We are good enough at ASEAN. We had been in the general champion at the 9th ASEAN Skill Competition and the second place 2 years ago. We hope that we can improve our achievement. We have several mainstays such as IT. Our IT team always almost seized gold medals, and there is another automotive.
Soal IT, kemudian otomotif kita termasuk salah satu yang diunggulkan.
Minister Anif also hopes that all stakeholders in Indonesia will always support the improvement of young Indonesian skills. The 2017 regional election will be held simultaneously in several provinces across Indonesia. Jakarta will be one of the provinces which organizes simultaneous election to vote for governor and vice governor for 2017-2022 period. At the simultaneous election, there are three pairs of candidates to have signed up to Jakarta General Election Commission on 21st until 23rd September. They are incumbent candidates Basuki Cahaya Purnama and Jarod Saiful Hidayah. The second one is Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono and Silvia Murni. And the last pair is Anies Baswedan and Sandiaga Uno. Head of Jakarta General Election Commission, Sumarno, said that his side is preparing to make the simultaneous election 2017 successful.
Seluruh calon yang telah terdaftar itu akan menjalani pemeriksaan kesehatan.
All of the registered candidates will conduct medical check-up at Minto Harjo Navy Hospital for 2 days. Then in Central PNN office, there will be pre-narcotic check-up and psychological check-up. On 24th October, there is enactment of definitive candidates. Then we will draw the number of candidates on 25th October. The last one is campaign period starting from 28th of October. In addition, Sumarno calls on Jakarta residents to vote wisely the best candidates to be the next leader of Jakarta for the next 5 years. Meanwhile, the voting will be held on 15th February 2017. The last item, security condition, is one of the problems to be concerned by Jakarta Election Commission at Jakarta General Election. Head of Jakarta General Election Commission, Sumarno, said at Jakarta General Election Commission building on Friday that Jakarta General Election Commission cooperates with law enforcers to succeed the agenda.
Jauh-jauh hari sebelum tahapan dimulai,
we have cooperated with National Police since a few days ago. Chief of Regional Police have come here twice. We also have coordinated with law enforcers. I would like to ensure that registration campaign and voting period will take place smoothly, safely, and democratically. Besides, Sumarno also said that the side can save budget amounting to 100 billion rupiah if the 2017 election runs for one round. However, he predicts that Jakarta election will run for two rounds. So Jakarta General Election Commission has prepared budget amounting to 428 billion rupiah. In addition, it can save budget amounting to 5 billion rupiah because there is no independent candidate in Jakarta election. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various significant events that occurred this week are reviewed by some of the leading media in Jakarta and outlined in the press review. Let's begin with the Republika newspaper. In its editorial on Wednesday, the paper writes, "Economic sovereignty through the sea. Fish thief in the Indonesian sea by a number of foreign ships is getting serious attention from the government. Number of decisive actions such as immersion or exploding vessels that caught up red-handed to imprisonment of the perpetrators have been intensively conducted since the beginning of the Joko Widodo Yusuf Kala administration. Until today, there were 250 foreign vessels involved in illegal fishings, burned
even sunk into the sea by the Minister of Marine and Fishing, Susi Pujiastuti, amid the war against the perpetrators of illegal fishing, which is still ongoing. The government has also opened the option to take advantage of technological advance in an effort to stop crime at sea. Among others, by the inclusion of Indonesia in the Global Fishing Watch, a technology platform which is collaboration among Google, Oceana, and SkyTruth. When the program is implemented, then Indonesia will be the first country in the world that provides data sharing commitment on vessels monitoring system. Republika newspaper writes, Minister Susi's firm stance against looters of Indonesia's marine wealth well-deserved thumbs up. One of the affected countries is Thailand, which fish exports went down as a result of the law enforcement conducted by Minister Susi. Next is Media Indonesia newspaper, which is on Thursday writes, prevent disaster time bomb. Floods that hit Garut Regency West recently is heartbreaking, however, it's not a disaster beyond prediction. Since 2013, the Regional Disaster Management Agency has labeled Garut as the most disaster-prone areas in Indonesia. The disaster that threatens not only floods but also landslides, tornadoes, volcanic eruptions, and even tsunamis. No single region of the 42 districts in Garut is safe from disaster, though with varying levels of vulnerability. Garut Kota sub-district, which on Tuesday night was hit by flash floods, has one-third of the region categorized as high risk of flooding. Media Indonesia Daily writes, from this disaster, all parties must demand responsibility for mitigation efforts of the local government, especially seeing the destruction of nature in different areas in Garut. Garut upstream areas, including the area of Mount Cikuray, Mount Guntur, and the Kamojang Mountains, continue to be victims of exploitation. The Daily writes that with the damage that occurred today, Garut is like turning on a time bomb by itself. Any data disaster can no longer simply be numbers reported, but a condition that must be anticipated. Not only that, the local government also should apply the concept of environmental sustainability in land use. Let's end the press review with Business Indonesia newspaper, which is in its editorial on Wednesday writes, await state officials' participation in tax amnesty. In the past of 2 weeks, news on some national employers' commitment to follow the tax amnesty program could be found in almost all media. This news seemed to be a fresh breeze on the chance of success of the program that ends on March 31, 2017, after many high-profile entrepreneurs briefly took turns declaring with their help to the tax authorities. The remaining question is, how about the state apparatus? How many of... Let's end the press review with Business Indonesia newspaper, which is in its editorial on Wednesday, writes, with state official participation in tax amnesty. In the past 2 weeks, news on some national employers' commitment to follow the tax amnesty program could be found in almost all media. This news seemed to be a fresh breeze on the chance of success of the program that ends on March 20, 2017. After many high-profile entrepreneurs briefly took turns declaring their wealth to the tax authorities, the remaining question is, how about the state apparatuses? How many of these state officials who have been following the tax amnesty program? Though the program has been underway for nearly 3 months, according to Business Indonesia, arguably the state officials have not been at the forefront to give an example to the public. Moreover, with time constraint of the tax amnesty implementation until next year, it should really be confirmation that this is the time to start. Media Indonesia writes, on the other hand, the thing to remember is the urgency to successful tax amnesty program is the responsibility of all parties, including individuals, small and medium enterprises, corporations, the business community, to state officials, and those on the front line are supposed to come from the state officials. Through the improvement and expansion of taxpayer database, surely in the future, Indonesia will become a more sovereign country because of increasingly flexible use of the state budget. That was press reviews.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet you again in our daily program Today in History over Area World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll begin with the event that happened on 24 September 1960 when USS Enterprise CVN-65, the first nuclear aircraft carrier, was launched. The aircraft carrier is the first nuclear-powered aircraft carrier in the world and the HUS aircraft which used as the name USS Enterprise. The USS Enterprise accommodates 66 jet fighters with 3,000 soldiers and 1,800 aviators. USS Enterprise was designed by Newport News Shipbuilding Co., Newport News, VA. Now we move to a different event on 24 September 1960 about National Palmer Day. President Sukarno decided Law No. 5, 1960 about agrarian-based regulation, which is more known as UUPR 1960. The termination of the legislation can be seen as the most important historic milestone in the history of agrarian in Indonesia. Agrarian structure was the legacy of feudalism and colonialism in the early independent revolution, which became the main problem and handcuffed Indonesian farmers at the time. By Sukarno's government tried to change, one of them is determined in the Agrarian Basic Regulation 1960. The idea, which is based on the regulation, is to create equitable of land tenure structure which is believed to live Indonesian farmers' life. Even land reform program, which became substance in the regulation 1960, was always mentioned by President Sukarno as an absolute part of Indonesian revolution. Based on the commitment, Sukarno through Presidential Decree No. 169/1963 determined on 24 September as National Farmer Day. And the last event that happened on this day in history was in 1996 when the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, CTBT, was signed. The treaty is an international agreement which prohibits all activities of nuclear explosion in all environments, either for military or civil purposes. The agreement succeeded to be solved in June 1996 in the Conference on Disarmament of Geneva, was adopted by United Nations General Assembly on 10th of September 1996 and signed on 24 September 1996 by 71 countries, including 5 countries of 8 countries which have nuclear capability. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus, which today takes the title of Government Prioritizes Border Security Equipment. Geopolitical and security constellation in the ASEAN region, which tends to be stable, has made the threat of an armed conflict between nations in the region is also likely to decline. Seeing this, Indonesian Minister of Defense Ria Mizard Raikudu, while reviewing border posts between Indonesia and Papua New Guinea in Sota, Merauke on Wednesday, said that the Ministry of Defense priority now is meeting the needs of soldiers in the border region. He added, for that matter, the government would reduce the purchase of major equipment defense systems. The threats in border areas such as smuggling, drug trafficking, and terrorism are of particular concern that need prioritizing for solution because it is more real than the threat of war. According to Ria Mizard, some things that are being pursued to equip the border areas in Papua are drones and vehicles such as tractors, motorcycles, and swamp boots. Minister Ria Mizard said that the Defense Ministry is calculating security equipment needs in border areas, such as drones to help the Military Border Security Task Force. Local Task Force Commander Lieutenant Colonel Infantry Hohir admitted that soldiers need drones to monitor the border regions in Papua adding that there are 32 traditional entrances, but only 16 can be secured because of the difficult geographical factors. Defense Minister Ria Mizar-Triakudu's visit in Papua was also intended to inaugurate hundreds of state defense cadres in Sko Village, Jayapura. In his speech, the Minister of Defense stressed that civil defense is an obligation for all Indonesian people. By defending the country, people can understand the importance of maintaining the pride of the nation. Before the inauguration, the state defense cadres consisting of students from elementary to university and also street children in Jayapura had followed a three-day Defend the Country program. Defense Minister Ria Mizar-Triakudu's visit to Jayapura, Papua New Guinea border is part of a series of visits to promote civil defense program to the entire country. That was focused today.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati affirmed that there are at least 5 points of revision of Government Regulation Number 79/2010 on recoverable operating costs and income tax treatment in upstream oil and gas. Director General of Culture at the Minister of Education and Culture, Hilmar Farid, in Denpasar Bali on Friday met with Denpasar Mayor Ida Bagus Rai Dharmawijaya Mantra to discuss the preparation of the World Culture Forum WCF 2016. Indonesian and Malaysian governments agreed to sign a Memorandum of Understanding, which consists of employment in the Valtra meeting taking place at Putrajaya International Convention Center in Malaysia on Friday. The 11th ASEAN Skill Competition, taking place from 19 to 29 September in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, has been officially opened. The opening was attended by Manpower Minister Anif Dakiri at Putrajaya International Convention Center on Friday. The 2017 regional election will be held simultaneously in several provinces across Indonesia. Jakarta will be one of the provinces which organizes simultaneous election to vote for governor and vice governor for 2017-2022 period. Security condition is one of the problems to be concerned by Jakarta General Election Commission at Jakarta General Election. Head of the Jakarta General Election Commission, Sumarno, said at Jakarta General Election Commission building on Friday that Jakarta General Election Commission cooperates with law enforcers to succeed the agenda. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we invite you to Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned! Listener, various regions throughout Indonesia offer nature at its most beautiful. Every region in Indonesia seems to have a different kind of beauty. Lombok Island in the West Nusa Tenggara province offers a diverse peek at Mother Nature. Besides the beautiful beaches, Lombok has many other tourist attractions. Among the many tourist attractions on Lombok Island, there are several natural and historical objects which have been preserved for many years. One of them is the Otak Kokok Jaben Waterfall. Listener, the name of this waterfall comes from the Sasak language, the local language of Lombok. In the Sasak language, Otak means head, Kokok means river, and Jaben is the name for the region the waterfall inhabits. Otak Kokok Jaben Waterfall is a natural waterfall as the water comes directly from the springs of Mount Rinjani. This waterfall is located at Lunggu Montong Beto village, Montong in the Gading sub-district East Lombok. The distance from the waterfall to Mataram City is around 50 km. Otak Kokok Jaben Waterfall is around 5 meters high. Its water comes out from the Banjur tree's root, which are usually hundreds of years old. This tourism object has a myth believed by the local people. They believe that its water can cure various kinds of diseases. If the water touches a person's skin and the person's skin turns white like milk, that person has a disease. Then, if that person flushes his or her entire body with the water from the waterfall, the disease will be cured immediately. Listener, Otak Kokok Jaben Waterfall is still preserved and functioning. Around the waterfall, there are facilities which can be enjoyed by tourists. For example, there is a swimming pool which is located at a protected forest. There are two swimming pools, one for adults and one for children. There is also a resting place around the pools and the protected forest. Thus, the atmosphere and natural beauty of the pool and the forest can be enjoyed by visitors visiting the attraction. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Otak Kokok Jaben Waterfall. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of VOI, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Miscellany. Listener, every 24 September is commemorated as National Agriculture Day. Towards the 56th National Agriculture Day in Indonesia, since the first president of Indonesia, Sukarno, enacted the law number 1960 on regulation of fundamental agrarian, which was then announced as National Agriculture Day. Are there any improvements in Indonesia to be self-sufficient in food in 2017? Well, Miscellany, today's edition will discuss about Indonesian agriculture to be self-sufficient in food in 2017. Listener, today on 24 September, Indonesian people are commemorating National Agriculture Day. It is the day in which Indonesian people must remember the importance of agriculture in every aspect. It is not only about the food production for Indonesian people, but also about being aware that agriculture has important role in national development. The roles are as follows: improving foreign exchange revenue, providing occupation, achieving added value and competition, complying internal consumption, material production for internal industry, and optimizing sustainable natural resources management. Besides, agriculture sector has huge contribution to gross domestic product or GDP, especially when Indonesia was facing monetary crisis during 1997 until 1998. At the time, agribusiness was the only one which could save Indonesia following its positive growth. Through National Agriculture Day, it is hoped it can contribute to the Indonesian agriculture's improvement. On this day, since 56 years ago, there has been one policy that managed rights and responsibility of farmers, rights of land, rights of agrarian sources to be managed and used optimally for the importance of the farmers and the nation. The enactment of National Agriculture Day by President Sukarno marks the importance of the farmer as the national entity. Listener, how about Indonesia's desire to be self-sufficient in food? To accomplish the self-sufficiency, there are lots of things that need to be carried out either by the farmers or the government, particularly the Ministry of Agriculture. There are several steps that should be conducted, such as improving of agriculture cultivation's quality with more advanced techniques. Accordingly, the socialization must be presented to the farmers about those new techniques. The government also has to highly ensure the complying of the needs of agricultural production, such as fertilizer, excellent seed, pest control and plant disease, and irrigation. In addition, the government also has to ensure the market for distribution of agricultural products with stable and appropriate price. Listener, that was Miss Leni today's edition. Thank you for listening and see you next time.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Leni on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Into this edition, I will introduce you to Ungu Band. Before we talk more about Ungu Band, let's listen to a song entitled Bayang Semu.
Oh,
Listener, you have just listened to a song from Ungu entitled Bayang Semu. This song is the hit song of Ungu Band's album entitled Laguku, which was released in 2002. Ungu Band, which consists of Pasha, Maki, Enda, Onci, and Roman, was established in 1995. Like other bands in general, Ungu Band also has changed its personnel several times. During two decades, Ungu Band has released 12 albums, 5 albums of their 2 albums. The 5 albums are religious albums which are also successful. One of Ungu Band's songs which is phenomenal and can penetrate in Malaysian music industry is entitled Demi Waktu. This song is in the 3rd album of Ungu Band entitled Melayang, which was released in 2005. Listener, let's listen to Demi Waktu sung by Ungu Band.
Di antara
That was a song entitled Demi Waktu sung by Ungu Band. Listener, until now Ungu Band still exists in Indonesian music world, even though there is a gossip that this band already breaks up. This gossip blows due to Ungu Band's vocalist, Pasha is elected as vice mayor of Palu, Central Sulawesi. Since late April 2016, Ungu has been again active without Pasha temporarily. It doesn't mean that Ungu Band to stop working. Ungu Band performs again through a song entitled Tanpa Hadirmu with Enda and Onci as vocalist. This song, which was composed by Onci, tells about sadness and a sense of disappointment of someone due to the third person. A song entitled Tanpa Hadirmu really describes new Ungu Band. Although Ungu Band without Pasha, Ungu Band keeps creating the best work for Indonesian music industry. Even Ungu Band is preparing the newest album. Well, listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs entitled Tanpa Hadirmu, followed by Tercipta Untukku. Well, listener, thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Tak pernah ku mengerti dirimu, jawaban di hatiku yang selalu ku cinta. Semestinya kita sama menobatkan hati di kala jiwa sedang terluka. Berharap kau mengerti diriku yang selalu menginginkanmu, dambaan hatiku. Meski hatimu tak mampu menginginkan aku mencintai diriku. Tak mudah bagiku lupakanmu. Aku hanya ingin mencintamu dan dicinta olehmu. Sungguh tak ada yang lebih meyakinkanku bila ku tanpa hadirnya dirinya. Kau tahu seharusnya kita bisa menjalin sebuah rasa dengan kisah terindah.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
terdiam dan terpaku, mengerti akan hadirnya cinta terindah saat kau peluk mesra tubuhku.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.